I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Future President Donald Trump speaking today in Wisconsin, a state that he can win, a state that Joe Biden needs to win, and a state that Joe Biden is losing. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Friday live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Want to see you there. It's going to be fun. And have a great way to kick off the summer. Well, five live shows there from now until the end of the year. And the first one, you better be there this Friday, 3 to 7 p.m. You can come for the whole show. You can come for part of the show. It's up to you. Come as long as you like. And I got to tell you about how Bob Menendez's wife, my favorite story, the corrupt New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez, his wife, Nadine, who's also facing federal charges and who Bob Menendez may throw under the bus, the legal bus. She was reported missing years ago by her lover when she was cheating on her lover with Bob Menendez and skipped town with Bob Menendez to go to the Dominican Republic, but told her lover she'd be over there that night. And the lover got nervous because she left a note on the door saying, I'm going away for a girls' weekend, and didn't come back. And he actually called the police. It is the jerseyest story you've heard in a long, long time. And I'll share that with you as well. But the thing about it is that Bob Menendez wound up marrying this woman. And I just think that, you know, if you're dating a woman who's has another guy on the side and she's cheating on that guy with you and he doesn't know about you and you don't know about him and she's lying to both of you. And I think you run from that. I think everybody could agree that's a gigantic red flag and you run as far away as humanly possible before you avoid. I mean, you got to avoid that train wreck. And the fact that Bob Menendez married her, you know, I didn't respect the guy before, but now I got to say, in addition to being corrupt, he's got to turn in his man card. Because the only one who won in this story is the attorney in Jersey who wound up dodging that bullet. But that guy was also, he had another gumata on the side in addition to the future Mrs. Menendez. I'm telling you, the story's nuts. I'll get into it in great detail. And also, as we're looking at everything that's going on, the question of can a Floridian be vice president of the United States of America on a Donald Trump ticket? That is the question. Now, first of all, there are two names that keep coming up when it comes to Florida. Number one, of course, is the governor, Ron DeSantis. And a Trump DeSantis ticket has long been a dream, the dream, perhaps, for many people. And the other name I keep hearing is Marco Rubio. Now, I am not a Rubio fan. I think he's too much of a globalist and he's a little too war hungry for my taste. And I don't love the idea. They're saying, well, you know, he's Latino, so he can bring Latino votes. I think Trump's going to win the Hispanic vote. He doesn't need to get somebody on the ticket. I also don't think people give a damn. I really don't. I mean, if Joe Biden picked an Italian running mate tomorrow, I'm not voting for Joe Biden. You know what I mean? If he picks Giuseppe to be his running mate and drops Kamala Harris, I'm not switching my support to Joe Biden. So I don't think that it matters as much as people think. Like, people need to see somebody of their ethnic heritage on the ticket. I don't think people care. You can make the same argument about gender. I don't think that matters either. I mean, Joe Biden could drop Kamala Harris for a dude, for a man, or she could identify as one. I'm still not voting for the guy. You know what I mean? I don't think it matters as much as people think it matters. I think people want the most competent person they possibly can. But the question is it even possible under the 12th Amendment of the United States Constitution? And we're going to explore that in some detail today on the show. We've talked about it in the past. And it's not that it's specifically prohibited by the United States Constitution. It's that under the 12th Amendment, in what's known as a favorite son's prohibition, it makes the Electoral College more complicated. And if the Electoral College race is close, it could be problematic to have two people from the same state on the ticket. So we'll talk about that as the show goes on today as well. And, you know, in thinking about the craziness that we're watching in the world today and watching everything and the fact that Biden is not speaking out, that Biden is not saying anything, and I've told you the reason why, because these are his voters. And that's where the deuce, Peter Ducey, was going with that question. He said, why is Biden not saying anything? We've heard about Charlottesville for years. We heard about January the 6th. He didn't shut up about it for 4 years. We've had hellscape speeches of Joe Biden drenched in red with Independence Hall behind him. Why is he not saying anything about this when people are screaming all this stuff against Jewish students? I mean, if it's the fake neo-Nazis in Charlottesville who bear a striking resemblance to people that graduate from Quantico and or associate with them and have tiki torches, and then Biden's very, very quick to come out and scream that these are terrible people spouting hate. But when it's the college kids, not so much. And the reason is because he needs their votes. And that's where Ducey was going with that question with Karine Jean-Pierre. I just want to get into that in a little more detail here because I had to kind of rush through it because we had a guest coming up. But here's Peter Ducey asking the question, why has the president been MIA regarding the uprisings? Is he worried about losing the youth vote? Now, we started to play this before, and I want to just play it again and comment on it a little bit more. You're going to hear Karine Jean-Pierre talk about how Biden is bribing people with student loans and also how great Biden is on climate change. But you're never going to hear her actually answer the question. And when you don't answer the question, that's an answer. I mean, that's an answer. If I don't answer the question that you just asked me and I dodge it and I start bringing up all the other things that Biden's doing for the young people, that basically means, yeah, you're right. Joe Biden's not going to condemn it because he's worried about losing their votes. So take a listen.
I understand that President Biden historically has spoken very forcefully about anti-Semitism. But this week he's not. He's MIA. Is he that worried about losing the youth vote with these protesters?
I'm going to be mindful. You're talking about youth vote. You're talking about 2024. No,
support
no, no.
Young people.
I have to say what I have to say, and just give me a second. So I'm not going to speak about somebody's doorbell. Is that a doorbell?
Yeah, that was an alarm.
An alarm. Okay. All right. And I'll speak more broadly. I can't speak to youth people, youth and support and voters. That's not something I can do from here. The president.
But she's going to do it anyway.
Has taken a lot of policy actions here that he knows that young people care about. And a lot of those actions are popular with those young folks, whether it's giving a little bit of breathing room with student debt relief. We made an announcement today, matter of fact, and we are going to continue to do that because we think it's important as families or as an American and you coming out of college and you want to build a family, buy a home, you have the opportunity to do that and not be crushed by student debt. The president understands how important it is to deal with that issue. Climate change, something that young people really, truly care about. One of the crises that the president said he came into having to deal with was the climate change crisis. As the president has taken aggressive action to deal with climate crisis. You look, I can't speak to youth voters or their support. What we're going to do is continue to take actions that we believe helps all Americans.
Okay.
Okay, and that's not an answer to the question of why Biden is not coming out and speaking out on these college campuses. And think of the political opportunity he's wasting here. Because if this was actually a general election campaign, he would. He'd come out and he'd say, what I'm seeing on these campuses is awful. What I'm hearing on these campuses is not who we are. We've got the that's not who we are lecture for years from this guy and Obama before him. Remember, that's not who we are. So why not give us a that's not who we are lecture to these college kids and come out and say that these signs and a lot of what the speech is and, you know, it's not who we are. Say it. But he can't because he needs their votes, and that's the problem. So then Karine Jean-Pierre uses the White House podium to talk about all the great things that Biden's doing to try to bribe young voters into voting for him. That's it. You had 300 people arrested last night at Columbia. 300 people. They were watching this at college campuses across the country. And a lot of parents who pay for their kids to go to these schools think this is ridiculous. They want their kids to be able to go to graduation. They want their kids to be able to go to all the events. So they think this is nuts. And Biden's not saying a word. In a general election, when you're supposed to be pivoting towards the middle to try to get independent voters, you would. You'd have an Oval Office address and talk about how the hate is not acceptable. We need to figure out a way to bring peace, but we cannot do it in this manner and blah, blah, blah. And that's not who we are. But if you haven't locked down crazy, and I keep telling you, Joe Biden has not locked down crazy, his base, then you cannot pivot to a general election mode. And that's the problem for him, bottom line. And Trump came out and said, you know, Biden's got to do something here. I mean, he's got to do something about this. But here's New York City Mayor Eric Adams saying that they arrested about 300 people in these crackdowns last night, cut number two.
At the request of Columbia University, after speaking with them throughout the week, at their request and their acknowledgement that outside agitators were on their grounds training and really co-opting this movement, at their request, we went in and conducted an operation to allow Columbia University to remove those who have turned the peaceful protest into a place where anti-Semitism and anti-Israel attitudes were pervasive. Approximately 300 people were arrested at Columbia and City College. We are processing the arrest to distinguish between who were actual students and who were not supposed to be on the ground. And we pointed out yesterday these external actors with a history of escalating situations and trying to create chaos, not to peacefully protest, but create chaos.
Now, this is, you realize you've heard more from the mayor of New York City than you have from the president of the United States of America. And Eric Adams isn't even running. He's not even running. It's a moment where if you're not afraid of losing the crazy base, you come out and you speak forcefully and you condemn the extremists, And you say you support peaceful protests, blah, 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 all the things you say. But you condemn the crazy people and the extremists. But you don't want to lose the crazy people vote in Wisconsin or Michigan. Now, let me contrast that with Jill Stein, who's running as a third party candidate. And this is the danger the Democrats have. And this is why, you know, my analysis, I go the extra level for you. I go the extra level and I probe a little bit deeper. And I was curious, you know, what Jill Stein was saying about all this, because she's running for president. I don't know if she's on the ballot yet in Michigan and Wisconsin, but she's a third party candidate. And a lot of these kids now who are screaming Genocide Joe don't want to vote for him. They certainly don't want to vote for Trump. Maybe they'll vote for RFK Jr., but probably not. But they may vote for her, if nothing else, in a protest vote. And she's right in with them. So you see, Biden's not condemning them. Biden's not standing with them necessarily, although some would say his silence is complicity. But Jill Stein is all in. She's all in with the crazy. Take a listen.
And, you know, in some ways, I think we may have even been targeted. My campaign manager and deputy campaign manager were also there. And we were really assaulted with these bicycles. And what you see happening in that footage, while we're practically being pushed over onto our backs, you know, and as a person with osteoporosis, I was not anxious to be pushed over, you know, onto my neck and risk a neck fracture. Yeah, and that footage right there, they are trying to force us back onto the ground. The officer on the right there picks up one of my feet as we are just about to fall over backwards. He picks up one of my feet to further destabilize me. And I, you know, in trying to maintain my balance, I struggled to get free. And then he yelled at me that I had just assaulted him because he was in the way of my foot as he was, you know, toppling me backwards onto my head. So I'm now accused not only of trespassing, I think we're all accused of resisting arrest, and I'm accused of assaulting a police officer.
Now, Matt DeSantis, you just texted me and said it's worth noting. You're watching the video. I'm only hearing the audio. So what are you seeing in the video?
So while she's conducting this interview and claiming she did nothing wrong, the show she's on is playing a clip on the screen, and it shows her and several students basically assaulting police with a bicycle. So I have no idea what she's talking about. She's clearly in the wrong.
She's clearly in the wrong. And at the beginning of that interview, I love when she says, yeah, no, they invited me to the encampment. And I was, I'm in. I'm all in. I'll join you. Sure. Now, do we know if she's on the ballot in Michigan and Wisconsin yet?
She's usually on most ballots. I would imagine she is. Yeah. I don't know for certain, but I can double check.
Yeah. So she's going all in with the agitators and the protesters. She's getting arrested in solidarity with them.
She's insane.
And beating up cops, too. Well, she's totally insane.
Claiming she's targeted. Nobody knows who you are, Jill Stein. I wouldn't recognize her, and I read the news every single day.
I don't think her own campaign manager would recognize her. That's part of the problem.
Couldn't pick you out of a crowd of two people.
So that's not good for Jill Stein, but it is not. It's worse for Joe Biden, because now the crazies have an alternative that they can use as a protest vote. So... I'm going to read all the tweets that Trump had to delete, by the way. Yeah, the Judge Mershon ordered him to delete several Truth Social posts from his account. They've all been deleted, but we have screenshots of them. I'm going to share them with you all as well before the show concludes today. Fox News just put a picture of this Lisa Fithian woman up, and she is known as Professor Occupy, the streetwise radical who's teaching kids who want to be badasses to be smart. And this is what she does. And she goes around and she gets paid to help teach people how to be radicals, how to teach people to do this. And she was very much behind Occupy Philadelphia when we had Philadelphia here in a couple years ago. She's been behind working with unions, working with teachers' unions, and she's anti-democracy. And you got to wonder where she gets her money from, where she gets the money from. We have a little snippet of her leading a training of crazy people. This is several years ago. I found this on YouTube. She was leading a training of crazy people on how to lead a revolution, actually. And they found her. She was in the protest last night. They saw her on video. She was also giving commands to some of the protesters. Take a listen. Yeah, give yourselves a round of applause. Please clap, everybody. Please clap. It's really important what we're doing. Effing important. That is Professor Occupy. So she's behind this as well. And I'm not, you know, I had a great interview with AJ Edelman, and I don't think we were debating this question of outside agitators. I think it's an interesting conversation to have. I think two things can be true at the same time, but I certainly believe that everything we've seen in America, going all the way back to the Summer of Love after George Floyd's death, that there are professionals behind this who absolutely want to see chaos in America. I think many of them were there on January the 6th. Posing as Trump supporters. I think you'd have to be an idiot to think that that's not the case. So, all right, we got a lot to chat about. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zioli. The big story of the day, though, is the craziness on college campuses and the impact it will have on Joe Biden in Michigan and Wisconsin. Will Jill Stein steal some of his votes? That big story brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Venaria. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VANARIA, VenariaDental.com. Now, guys and ladies, let me tell you. Summer's here. This weather's beautiful. Friday, we're in Cape May. We're going to be at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, enjoying the beautiful weather, enjoying the ocean and the great, beautiful, beautiful scenery. But if you need to lose that winter weight, it's time, because soon you're going to be taking your shirt off at the pool, taking your shirt off at the beach, getting into your swimsuit, and you want to look good, you want to feel good. That's where NJ Diet comes in to help you. A contractually guaranteed weight loss of 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days' time. Now, that's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections. And unlike weight loss injections, which are banned in many European countries now, they don't have any of the nasty side effects that people are dealing with. So NJ Diet is the natural way, without shots, without hormones, without surgery, without prepackaged food. They use your hair and saliva, along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help you keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you are burning fat and not just losing water. You even get the doctor's personal email and phone number. Now, there are locations close by you in King of Prussia, Cherry Hill, and Newark, Delaware, or available from home with live online video consultations. Call 855-5-NJ-DIET, 855-5-NJ-DIET, or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. You can do this. Get slimmer before the summer and feel great this summer without the shots. njdiet.com.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
I always think of old school when I hear this song nowadays. So Biden and Trump held dueling campaign events today. Trump was actually not in court. They don't have court on Wednesdays, apparently. So he was able to get on the campaign trail and go to Wisconsin, where he was talking about jobs and he was talking about the economy. And good for him that he's able to get out on the campaign trail. It's important to do. Don't forget, he's coming to our area on May 11th. He'll be in Wildwood, live on the beach in Wildwood, alongside Congressman Jeff Van Drew. And you can get your tickets by going to DonaldJTrump.com, and you'll be able to see him live in person. But you got to do that because those tickets always sell out, no doubt about that. The other question, too, on everything that's happening is, what is being uncovered regarding COVID? COVID-19. You remember that? Remember the fun little COVID time we all had in America? Yeah, we haven't forgotten about that. And now they're holding people like Peter Daszak accountable. And that's good, because Peter Daszak is a slimeball. And he's the guy that helped, along with Asanto Fauci, Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor. You always have to say that by law, helped him create COVID in the lab in Wuhan, China. So that is something that the COVID Select Subcommittee on the Origins of the Pandemic was discussing today. I'm going to play you a couple clips from that hearing, because I think it's very important that all this comes out. So the chairman of that committee is a guy named Brad Wenstrup, and he's doing a great job. He's a congressman from Ohio, and they looked over 30,000 pages of emails. Emails from a Gmail account, which were they tried to use to avoid FOIA, which is the Freedom of Information Act. And the conversations between this guy, Peter Daszak from EcoHealth Alliance, and this Dr. Morins, and according to what they uncovered, and this is terrifying, there's a whole lot more left in the freezer in Wuhan besides somebody's leftover ice cream cake from a birthday party. Cut number 11.
On April 16th, 2024, I announced a subpoena to Dr. Morins for documents in his email relating to the origins of COVID-19. Yesterday, Dr. Morins produced 30,000 pages of emails. Emails from his Gmail account, which he said he had used to avoid FOIA. So this investigation does not end today. Dr. Daszak told Dr. Morins in these private communications that he still had 15,000 samples, quote, in freezers in Wuhan, end quote, and had not yet analyzed more than 700 coronaviruses he had identified in those samples. EcoHealth has lamented, quote, the negative impact on U.S. national security, end quote, posed by their inability to sequence all the samples at the WIV. But EcoHealth's action themselves are a threat to national security. Dr. Daszak has displayed a disregard for the risks associated with gain-of-function research. the congressional oversight process, and the federal grant process. Dr. Daszak has proven that he's not a responsible steward of the American people's tax dollars. We see no reason that the American people should be paying for EcoHealth's research or any other work Dr. Daszak conducts.
15,000. Let's think about that, all right? Because everybody's got something in the freezer that they don't want to touch. They don't know if it's a meatball. They don't know if it's an old piece of, pasta fazool that's in there. But this is now 15,000 samples in freezers in Wuhan. And they have not yet analyzed more than 700 coronaviruses that they had identified in those samples. You see, we still don't know everything at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, the WIV. We don't know. There's a lot there, and they're still trying to cover this up. Because gain-of-function research, you got to understand, gain-of-function is a gravy train. Here's what I mean. You get money to create the virus. Then you get money to find the treatment for the virus. So it's a double win. You get to create Frankenstein's monster, so that you can say, well, we need to create Frankenstein's monster so that if Frankenstein's monster ever gets out of the lab, we know how to defeat him. But why don't you just not create him in the first place? Well, no, we have to, because if something like this happens, we need to know how to beat him up. Yeah, but you're making him. What do you think's going to happen? You creating this, what do you think is going to occur? And it occurred. It came out of the lab. So then the pharma companies and all these other third-party NGOs and everything else, they all get money to work on the treatments of this stuff. So you see, nobody wants the gain-of-function gravy train to end. It's beyond maddening to think that we're creating deadly viruses, or we take viruses and make them deadlier. Right, we go, you know what, this virus is very lethal, but let's see if we can make it even more lethal. Let's see if we can make it kill people even faster. Sounds like a great idea. What could possibly go wrong? That's the kind of stuff they're doing. And then, of course, Big Pharma's ready to jump in and go, hey, we're here to help. You need us to create a treatment, a vaccine? Want to make it mandatory? We're here to help. I noticed recently that there was at least one drug commercial I saw recently where they didn't refer to it as a prescription drug, or the company is a pharmaceutical company. They called themselves a medicine company. Big Pharma has gotten a bad rap over the last few years, and rightfully so, by the way, since COVID, rightfully so. And these public health officials have also gotten a bad rap, and rightfully so. And they want to bring Daszak up on criminal charges for all the lies that he told around the origins of COVID. Now, look, this still matters 4 years later, because the reality is, A, we don't know what we don't know. And B, these idiots still want to keep creating viruses. And C, the cover-up was so extensive between the government, the corporate media, and big tech, the unholy triad, doing their thing together. Remember, the CIA was involved early on, telling everybody this did not come from a lab. Fauci and the National Institutes for Infectious Diseases and NIH and the CDC and the FDA, they're all covering it up. Big tech covers it up. Corporate media covers it up. Everybody's protecting China. So we got to get to the bottom of all of this. And then we also got to figure out, hey, what other lethal viruses are next to the ice cream cake in the freezer? Here's a Congressman Morgan Griffith from Virginia questioning EcoHealth Alliance President Peter Daszak and explodes over the lie about the natural spillover. So the natural spillover theory is the theory that somebody went to a wet market in Wuhan, ordered an undercooked bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli, and created a global pandemic. Now, remember something. It's racist to suggest the virus was created in a lab. Not racist to say that the people of Wuhan have the filthiest eating habits in the world, and they eat things like bats. That's not racist to say, but if you say it was a lab leak, that's racist. Now, I can't figure that out, but anyway, that's what the rule is, apparently. And obviously, I don't follow it. Cut number 12.
And you repeated, yes, that there was nothing significant that wasn't in the draft that would have then been put in the final version. That's your testimony under oath. In light of this May 2020 draft of the progress report, I don't know how to interpret your answer to me in the transcribed interview as anything other than untruthful. You changed perhaps one of the most important findings, the likelihood of bat coronavirus spillover into humans, from very rare in early 2020 on a report that was due in September of 2019 to possibly over a million spillovers annually in Southeast Asia and Southeast China alone by late 2021. There's no new data. There's no new paper cited. Just a complete 180 reversal on the conclusion. Now, Dr. Daszak, this is uncomfortable, but we must know. And my assumption is that you either had communications with Dr. Fauci or others at NIAID.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You had outside pressure, or you realized that your company could be liable, and so changes were made either to satisfy NIAID or others in the scientific community, or to cover up potential liability. Which one is it?
Well, there's a fourth possibility, isn't there, that we'd conducted scientific research in the period between the initial drafting of that report and updating it.
And if if that were true, Dr. Daszak, why didn't you tell me that in November of last year? It's been less than 6 months. I gave you the opportunity to say that there was a change in your initial drafts and later drafts. You didn't bring up this fourth possibility then. You didn't say, well, we did some additional research and we made a change on the number of times that a bat virus might spill over into the population in Southeast Asia or South China. You didn't give me that. I gave you the chance. I didn't ask it. I was looking for facts. I wasn't trying to cross-examine you at that time, and yet you didn't tell me the truth. And today you come up with a new theory as to why that might have happened. But that's not what you gave me in November. Isn't that true? You didn't give me that in November. Isn't that true? Yes or no?
My theory...
Is it yes or no that you told me something wrong
My theory has a substantial advantage over yours in that it's...
No, my theory is you didn't tell me the truth. You're now coming up with a theory that as to why your reports in the leaked 2020 report and your later 2021 report are different. I'm asserting and I'm asking you, you told me something wrong in November if your fourth theory is correct. Isn't that true?
I believe I'm seeing this for the first time. You never showed this to me on the record.
I didn't have it in November, but I asked you if there was a substantial change.
If you'd shown it, I would have explained it then. If you let me speak, I'll explain it now.
Well,
I can give you the answer to your question.
I'm going to answer it for you because here's the problem.
Okay.
I asked you specifically if there would be any substantial or significant changes from what you would have had. You said you tried to send the report in earlier if there was something wrong with the site and so forth. And I said, but that report that was due in September, when you tried to send it in September of 2019, were there any substantial differences? You said that there weren't, that they would be substantially the same.
And that this is still correct.
And you don't think this is a significant change?
No.
Wow.
I practiced
in the criminal courts for many, many years, and I will just tell you, if you were my client, I would tell you that dog won't hunt, and the judge ain't going to believe that.
And think about that. You changed the likelihood of bat coronavirus spillover into humans from the likelihood being very rare in early 2020 to possibly over a million spillovers annually by late 2021. Man, he thinks that's just an insignificant change. Like, well, I mean, I capitalized a letter. You know, I changed a word, added an adjective. No big whoop. Now, I just changed the fact that the likelihood of a spillover from being very rare to it happens, well, there's probably about a million spillovers annually. Like, what? Wait, what? What are you talking about? But this is, again, these are liars who need to be prosecuted. And I think that they will. I mean, that's the thing. This Daszak guy has lied so many times. And Fauci has lied under oath before Congress. And the discrepancies that they found here in their report and what they've learned. And that's why the COVID Select Subcommittee on the Origins of the Pandemic, their staff level report, recommending that guy you just heard, EcoHealth Alliance President Dr. Peter Daszak, be formally debarred and criminally investigated as a result of his actions prior to and during the COVID-19 pandemic. The report also exposes serious systemic weaknesses at the National Institutes of Health that enabled EcoHealth to fund dangerous gain-of-function research in Wuhan, China. Your taxpayer dollars and mine used to facilitate gain-of-function research on coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China. Overwhelming primary source documents and credible firsthand testimony confirm this finding. And EcoHealth Alliance violated the terms and conditions of its National Institutes of Health grant by failing to report a potentially dangerous gain-of-function experiment conducted at the WIV. Daszak was aware of the potentially dangerous research, yet he failed to inform the National Institutes of Health. They also violated grant requirements when they failed to submit a required research update report until nearly 2 years after the deadline. The report contained details about EcoHealth's dangerous gain-of-function work at the WIV. And the Trump administration identified serious concerns with EcoHealth Alliance's funding and told the NIH to fix it. That's when the NIH terminated EcoHealth Alliance's grant. Now, this intervention likely prevented EcoHealth from continuing to conduct the dangerous research. And thank God. However, what we know is that there are things still there. And we've had a lot of people who have come forward and have spoken now before this committee. And we will get answers. And we need to hold these people accountable. We have to hold these people accountable. One more clip on this, and then I'll move on to another subject. But here's Representative Raul Ruiz. Remember, this is very personal to me. This whole lab leak, I mean, it's personal to all of us. But I was the guy back in March of 2020 saying this thing came from a lab. You know, and I was a dog with a bone with this. I would not give it up. And I kept talking about this day in and day out for a long time because I knew that this thing was not something that came from a bat burger. And I knew gain-of-function research was behind it. And back then, when the stories were coming in and people would send me stories about Fauci funding gain-of-function research, what happened back then? All of that was immediately dismissed as conspiracy theories. And I was a conspiracy theory monger. You know, people like me, excuse me, who are pushing out this idea that these guys created this virus and paid for it, we were called tinfoil hat conspiracy kooks. And you had all the corporate media do their thing and say that the scientific community had debunked this. Joy, what's her face on MSNBC, Joy Reid coming out and saying it was debunked bunkum. We had people in the local Philadelphia media calling it the debunked COVID lab leak theory. Who was it debunked by? It was debunked by Fauci, Peter Daszak, and their minions. It was never debunked by science or evidence. They debunked it, and everybody ran with that and accused anybody else of saying that it came from the lab as being a conspiracy theorist. And so everybody owes us an apology, but beyond that, we need justice here. Here's Representative Raul Ruiz pressing Daszak on his subsidiary work at Wuhan, the extensive work in multiple organizations in China. Cut 13.
You were doing subsidiary work at Wuhan. Where do you draw the line between telling folks that, yes, you are in fact were subgranting research at Wuhan and yet you're debating whether or not this came from Wuhan?
I think you'll find in my competing interest, I state that we've done extensive work with multiple organizations in China.
Yeah, multiple organizations in China is a way to skirt around the fact that it was Wuhan.
It was Wuhan. It was the WIV, the Wuhan Institute of Virology. No doubt about it. All right, listen, Friday we're live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, and I'm excited. I'm excited to see you there for our live show. We're going to have a blast. Live shows are always fun. And the Grand Hotel is the perfect getaway for summer. Now's your time to make your June reservations. If you want to de-stress, enjoy life, take in the ocean air, and make lifetime memories with your family and friends, then you should book a getaway at my happy place. The beautiful oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Book now a June midweek stay and save. Stay three nights and get $60 a night in resort credit. Five nights get you $70 a night in resort credit. Stay seven nights and receive $80 a night in resort credit. And you can use your resort credits to make purchases of food and beverages in Hemingway's restaurant, the outdoor pool bar, their beach concession stand, or in the gift shop where you can get passes for a whale-watching boat cruise. Book direct with them for the best rates. The Grand is also the perfect place to host a wedding, corporate event, baby and bridal shower. With four ballrooms, they have the perfect space to make lifetime memories. So call and ask to talk to my friend Caitlin. She'll help you make your dream event come true. To book your stay at the beautiful Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, call 800-257-8550 or visit them online at grandhotelcapemay.com. 800-257-8550 or grandhotelcapemay.com, and we'll see you Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
All right, Matt DeSantis, you got your pocket constitution with you?
No, I do not, but I can pull one up on the internet.
All right, pull one up on the internet. I'm going to find the 12th Amendment to the Constitution. So that would be XII?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Not good with Roman numerals. All right. This is a question that's been asked of me, which is, can Trump have a running mate from Florida?
Yes.
No. You're saying yes, that's the question that's been asked to me, or the answer is yes?
No, the answer is yes.
According to the Constitution, technically speaking, but there's a problem.
Yes, it's not advisable.
Yeah, but you see, you know, we're trying to build up suspense here. You
don't, oh, sorry.
You don't just jump in and say, yes, this is radio. You're supposed to build up the tension.
Sorry, who knows?
And tease it.
I didn't know. I didn't know that's what we were doing. I don't know. Please,
you just jump out and go, yes. It's like, all right, well, then let's move on. Another segment.
It's the Harvard elitist in him. He can't help himself but answer the question.
I'm sorry.
What's the point of even talking about it now? I'll just move on to something else. Yeah, all right.
I could hit the dump button and we could start this over.
Yeah, we're past that.
We're way past the dump button at this point. Now we only have four dumps left.
No, we didn't use any. We have all of them, yeah.
We have all our dumps? How many dumps do we get?
I think three.
In a period.
I don't like this conversation. It doesn't sound good. All right, so the electors shall meet in their respective states, blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Point is this. You can have somebody from the same state, but there's an electoral college problem that occurs if both the president and the vice president are both from the same state. Now, explain that electoral college problem, Matt DeSanctimonious.
So, basically, the electors from a state are not allowed to vote for two candidates from that same state. So, if Donald Trump were to pick, Marco Rubio from Florida to be his VP candidate, say, I don't know how many electors Florida has off the top of my head. I think it's like 29 or something. But say Donald Trump wins the election by 30 electors, then it wouldn't much matter whether or not Florida's electors could vote for both Trump and Rubio. But in the event that it's much closer than that, there is a scenario in which the electors would pick Trump, would not be able to pick Rubio, and then ultimately Kamala Harris would probably end up as VP, because I think then the Senate would decide if nobody hit 270.
All right, so Florida has 30 electoral votes.
Okay,
so 30. People cast their vote for the president and the vice president in the general election. We go and we vote for Donald Trump and whoever his running mate is. But the electors of the Electoral College cast their vote for president, and then they cast a vote for vice president. This is what people don't realize. Correct?
Yes.
Okay, see, then that's when you should have jumped in and said yes.
Sorry, I didn't.
Your timing is...
I didn't know what we were doing.
He's second-guessing everything now. He's a mess.
Honestly.
Guessing anything? I know the answer.
When you go to vote in November, you don't think about the fact... You don't cast a separate vote for the president and the vice president. You vote for both at the same time. But we don't vote for the president. We vote for the electors to the president. Then the electors go to the Electoral College, of which Matt DeSantis was the mascot. And they're at the Electoral College, where, by the way, their women's volleyball team is looking really good for 2024. I'm just saying. Have you seen some of the hotties on the Electoral College women's volleyball team? Smoking hot. But I digress. And then the electors vote for the president, and then the electors vote for the vice president. So in other words, they can't vote for the same person twice, which means then that theoretically Donald Trump will get 15 electoral votes. And Marco Rubio theoretically would get 15 electoral votes. Do we have that correct?
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that if I were an elector from Florida, I would deem the presidency far more important than the vice president position, and I would just cast my ballot for Donald Trump. So
you wouldn't
Rubio
vote
would get
for
nothing.
Vice president at all, because you could not vote for both people.
Yeah, exactly. You would have to choose between one or the other. So I mean, if I were in that position, I would pick Donald Trump and then just see whatever happens with VP happens with VP.
Could you imagine if it wound up being Donald Trump and Kamala Harris?
I think it probably would, because it's likely that nobody would hit 270 under that scenario, because I can't imagine the electors would pick Kamala Harris. And then as far as I know, the Senate would then decide who is vice president.
And this would only be obviously if the election was really close.
Yeah. And then
where literally the president won with 270 electoral votes.
Exactly.
And I don't know the last time a president got exactly 270. Do you know offhand?
No, but I'm sure there's a bunch of scenarios where, especially if we're talking about Florida specifically, there's a bunch of scenarios where the race would have been within 30 votes.
Yeah.
30 electoral votes.
Yeah, because if let's say of the six or seven swing states that are out there, let's say Trump loses Pennsylvania but wins Michigan, loses North Carolina but wins Georgia. Let's say he wins Nevada but loses Arizona. Let's say it's close, and so then the 30 electoral votes in Florida are crucial. And right now we're counting them as part of that magic number for Trump to get to 270. If there's the what do they call it, the spoiled stepson or whatever it is, the favorite son clause, I think is known. No, there's a nickname to it. Then that could be problematic in the sense that you obviously all 30 of the electors would vote for Trump, but they would not be able to vote for his vice president candidate. And then it would go to the Senate. Basically, that's the worst case scenario is the Senate would then choose. But then at that moment, I can't imagine the Senate goes in there and chooses the Democrat and not the Republican.
I think they would, because there's a majority of Democrats in the Senate.
That would just be a jerk move, though, don't you think?
What do you think Chuck Schumer's going to do in that scenario?
I know, but that would be a jerk move.
Yeah, there's just no way that he's going to hand over a VP Marco Rubio or a VP Ron DeSantis. He's going to make sure Kamala Harris stays in power.
And then the problem that becomes is that if you need the vice president for a tie-breaking vote in the Senate, because the vice president of the United States, in addition to going to funerals, is the president of the Senate, technically speaking. And so only votes, though, really when there's a tie, the tie-breaking vote, and can cast that vote. So if you had a 50-50 split in the Senate, you would want the vice president to vote your way. In which case, in that instance, if Chuck Schumer were and the Democrats were to make Kamala Harris the vice president of the United States under President Donald Trump, she would vote with the Democrats and kill Trump's legislation in the Senate. So that's the problem that picking someone from Florida potentially creates. Is that a good summation?
I think so, yeah.
You could have said that sooner. You could have jumped in and said that's exactly right. But instead, again, you paused. Your timing stinks.
I didn't realize there was a pause there. I thought you did a pretty good job summarizing it there.
Well, I needed you to jump in and say that's exactly right. And so you said sure at the wrong time earlier. Now you're waiting too long to say yes, it's exactly right.
Rich, you're exactly right.
Thank you. Henry, his timing today is off, way off. Yes. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, something's up with them. You having a good hump day, Matt? Is everything okay?
I'm reading and listening at the same time. You asked if anyone had ever hit 270 electoral votes on the money. I don't see it in recent history, but George Bush hit 271 in 2000.
Look, man, just learn to walk and chew gum at the same time.
Again, this is only a problem if it's close. If it's not close, then nothing to worry about. All right, got to take a quick break. We're going to do 30 minutes of nonstop talk for you straight ahead. Our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May. Don't go away.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Busy roads, big trucks, bigger risks. Don't face it alone. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.